We're traveling through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in chapter 6. Let's turn there this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. Once again, we join the Apostle Paul as he is teaching us how to dress for the battle. The battle that every believer is in. There's no avoiding it. If you receive Christ as Savior, you enter into a battle, a spiritual battle. But the key in all this is what? To have on the armor that God provides. It's in that armor that we're going to have the victory. And so we're making our way through it, hopefully making it practical, not theoretical. May this morning just also be part of that application. Let's remind ourselves where we're at. Let's look again at chapter 6 of Ephesians, starting at verse 10, as Paul describes the battle. Finally, my brethren. Paul had soaked us in God's love. He had spent three chapters telling us all that's ours in the Lord. Only after that, they say, now go out and live it out. Walk in these things that God has given you. Put on that new creation. Be that new man that God has made you. So he's been teaching and soaking us and encouraging us. Only then does he come down to this ending time and say, but now remember, it's not a playground, it's a battleground. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, based on that, because of that, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So the goal in all this is to stand, to not stumble, to not fall, to not give ground to the enemy, but to stand, meaning to have victory. Here is how we do it. It's through the pieces of armor that God provides. So we first have to know what they are, but make sure then that they're a reality in our lives. And I pray that our time, you're helping all of us do that. You remember we began with that first piece of armor. It's called the belt of truth. We saw that it was the first because it's so foundational. Our enemy is a liar, and he throws these deceptions and lies at us. We need truth to withstand that, to identify it, to not fall to it. And so we saw that. We saw the belt is foundational, and that it anchored so much of the rest of the armor. And so we saw, first of all, make sure we know God's word. It's God's truth that it's talking about. Got to know it and have it on. Secondly, he said, and then put on the breastplate of righteousness. We saw that right standing with God is part of our armor. When the enemy tries to trip us up and deceive us and tell us we're not saved or something, we can say, no, I know this. I'm his. You see, he gives us righteousness. He puts righteousness to our account and takes our sins and puts it to his account. But not only does he impute righteousness, but he imparts righteousness as he works it in and through our lives. That's part of our armor. Last week we saw this, that in any battle we need sure footing. And so he says, make sure you have on some shoes, your feet shod with. Have shoes of what? The preparation of the gospel of peace. And we saw that a big part of our armor will be to have on peace, to have peace with God. We're reconciled to God, every believer. Peace with God, but then we have the peace of God, that peace that passes understanding. And then we saw the third part was, and peace within the body. No division, but unity. That's part of our armor. So those were the first three pieces. Now we come to this fourth piece of armor. Again, remember, Paul's using a Roman soldier's uniform to help us understand spiritual truth, spiritual armor we're to have on. As we come to this morning, picture yourself now as a Roman soldier in a battle, marching out with all your fellow soldiers, but across that open field is the enemy. They're coming at you now. They're approaching in numbers. The first part of their attack is they begin to shoot arrows, flaming arrows. That was the old-time idea of artillery. So the arrows are beginning to fly at you. What do you need? What do you need? A tree to hide behind? A hole to climb into? Get me out of here. Those things are going to find their target. I'm going to be a goner. There's all these flaming arrows coming at me. What do we need? Verse 16 now, our fourth piece of armor. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Until we get to the last piece of armor, namely the sword of the Spirit, every piece of the armor is defensive in nature. This morning we've come to a key, one of those. Pastor Chuck Smith said this, quote, "As Paul is having us put on our defensive armor, he tells us, above all, put on the shield of faith. This is perhaps one of the most important of all the defensive armaments that we possess." End quote. The role of faith is crucial in our victory. But how do we do that? What does that mean? Okay, faith is important, but how is that going to be a piece of armor? How's it going to help me? May this morning encourage us in this, perhaps prompt us to it, grow in it, know it, whatever the need is, may we be receivers of it all. I've called our time the shield of faith. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you, the true and living and almighty God, and yet so loving towards us, drawing us through your love, paying for our sins, purchasing us for that work of the cross, and bring us into this place now of knowing you, walking with you, just traveling this life with you, and then you give us your armor to be victorious. Thank you. Help us in this time. Lord, we come in here with so many things we think are the issues, but Lord, you know the core issues, the root issues, and the root answers. So use this time to apply it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just go through this verse and see what the Lord has for us. There's much here in this verse. Paul begins verse 16 now by saying, above all. The word above all does not mean more important than all. It doesn't mean more important than the other things. What it means is in addition to what we've already said. Probably if you have a translation, some of your translations might say that very thing. Our New King James says above all. Some of you might say in addition to all. But that's the correct way to put it. He's just saying, okay, you've had these other things. Now here's something else. In addition to that, here's something. But it is something very, very important. What is it? Above all, taking the shield of faith. You'll notice in the verses up until now, those first three pieces of armor, Paul had used the word not taking, but having. Look real quick, verse 14. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the first three were something that we were to have already going on all the time. The idea is these three pieces are pieces of armor that you wear. They're to be attached to you all the time. If you wait until the enemy's attacking, you're in a battle, you know that, but also the enemy begins to attack, you say, oh, you know what, the enemy's coming, I should probably put my shoes on. You're going to be behind the curve. Gee, where did I put that breastplate anyway? No, the Roman soldiers would have those on basically all the time to be prepared. So these are things that are attached to us, we're to keep attached to us, is the idea. But Paul now switches the wording by saying of the next three armor parts, take, to take, or taking up these things. So he's speaking of armor equipment which the soldier would carry versus those things that he wears. You'll notice that. Things that are even a helmet can be something that's very easy to take on and off idea. It's not, in a sense, permanently attached, so to speak. And so that's what's going to be happening here. In this case, it's this first thing. And it implies choice. You've got to take it up if you're going to fight and be successful. But that's the example, this idea of a shield. But now we come to this, namely this. It's the shield of faith. Notice that, the shield of faith. See, the shield of the Roman soldier, we're used to that. You've seen that, haven't you? In movies, and we've seen different things of the Roman times, the soldiers, and what their shields look like. Now, matter of fact, to show you real quick, I'll put this up. You've seen these in movies or whatever. Here's an example of some Roman soldiers, and in particular, I want to draw your attention to the shield. Now, this particular overhead points out the Greek word that's used. And the word that's used for shield, there's a word that means a shield, a large, oblong, four-cornered shield. It points out they could be locked together. They were made oval or in the shape of a door. Indeed, the Greek name that's behind this is from the root word for a door. It was like carrying a big door around. And so they were like, my understanding is they were like 4 feet by 2.5 feet. They were big, big rectangular shields is the idea. Here's a picture of just an individual one. You've seen these, you understand the idea. But they're not just these little round things maybe attached to the arm. But they were big that they would carry around. They could get behind, they could fully get behind them to protect themselves. That's the idea. They were made with several layers of wood, my understanding. They were covered with leather. Oftentimes they would have some metal around the edges to keep it all solid and together. I'm told that they would actually soak these in water before battle so the leather would be wet so that when the fiery arrows would hit them, they'd be less apt to cause the shield to catch fire. They would put out the darts. They'd put out the arrows that way. So that's the idea here. We all understand kind of the idea of that. But again, it's just an illustration. The point here is the spiritual application of it all. So what is our shield for the battle? It is the shield of faith, he calls it. Well, how is faith like a shield like that? How does that work in the spiritual realm? What's the idea here? Well, the word faith here, you'll notice, it doesn't say the faith. The article the is not in front of it. Sometimes in Scripture it speaks of the faith, meaning the body of things we all believe, the faith. But here it's faith. Faith here, the word faith here is not so much what we believe, but how we believe. It's having faith in God and His Word. It's trusting in, leaning on, depending upon God and His Word. That's going to be our shield. It means having confidence in God. It means having confidence in His Word. It's trusting God no matter what is going on, no matter what the situation, the circumstances are. Again, it's believing God, believing His Word, and living, acting upon it all. We're familiar with Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11 is that great chapter of the Hall of Faith. But in the midst of that chapter, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What's the big deal about faith to God? Why is it impossible to please God without faith? Because true active faith is what? It shows that you really are trusting him. It shows you really do believe him. That's the idea there. And that's why only a true active faith will please him. And only a true active faith will be our armor. Circumstances, attacks, simply reveal whether our faith is real. We can see by the usage here in this text that faith will have to be something that's active if we're going to stand our ground. It's not enough to just intellectually hold to a certain set of beliefs. Oh yes, I mentally agree to that. Yes, I think the Bible is probably a very good book. These are nice teachings. It's not enough. That's not our armor to just mentally, intellectually assent to these things. It's standing on them. See, this has got to be practical. If we have this shield operating and protecting us, it's going to be a faith that applies the truth in the circumstances. John echoes Paul's words in 1 John 5:4. John says a very parallel thing to what Paul is saying in our text. John says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So it's not that Paul's the only one saying this. They learned it. The apostles learned it. God would have us to know it also and to be doing it. So let's be clear. When it talks about this weapon, this shield, if you will, this protection, it's faith. But it's not just faith in faith. It's not just somehow, it's not kind of like using faith as like a positive way to view things. Well, you just got to have faith. It doesn't matter what you have it in, just have a positive outlook. No, the arrow will go right through that. It's not just faith in faith. It's not faith in our own self. It's not faith in our self-righteousness or something like that. Again, that won't protect us from these arrows. It's not faith in our own resources. See, too often that's what happens. The attack begins and we look to right away, what do I have to get victory here? What strategies of mine might work? What wisdom do I have? That's not going to be our protection. It's who and what the faith is in. What matters about faith always is the object of that faith. What am I placing? Who am I placing my faith in? Only one is worthy. Only one is our shield. Only one will protect us from the attacks. So it's important that our faith be real. It's not working up a feeling of faith. It's not emotionalism. Again, it's not our strategies that are going to deliver us. It's trusting in our Almighty God. It's who this faith is in and in His Word. That's our victory. When the darts begin to fly at us, these attacks from the enemy of our soul, we're to grab the shield of faith. That means we trust in God and His Word. And what do? Just like a real shield with a real arrow spiritually, we stick God and His Word between us and the attack. When that thing is being shot at us, we don't try to fend it off. We put God and His Word, His promises, His power, His provision between us and the attack. To quench something, it's a word, to quench there means to cause it to lose its power. How are we going to cause, what's going to cause that attack to lose its power? What's going to deflect the arrow? Faith in God. It's God who does it. It's His Word, His power that's going to do it. Faith opens us up to that. Faith in Him brings that to bear upon it. And that's our shield. What does faith in the Lord and His Word protect us against? What's it call it here? It says, verse 16, the shield of faith which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Fiery darts of the wicked one. See, they would, when the enemy would attack, they would shoot arrows at the other side. And of course, what it's talking about is they would take those arrows, they'd often wrap them in something combustible, dip them in some tar or something, light it on fire, and shoot it. The idea being is that when it hit, it would catch the shield on fire, perhaps deflect and catch the person on fire. It would cause disorganization and fear within the ranks. So that's what they're called, these fiery darts. They're flaming arrows, is the idea. Well, what's that like in the spiritual realm? You know, you look, I don't see any fiery arrows coming at me. But it's in the spiritual realm. What do fiery darts from the enemy look like? What form do they come in? Suffice to say, many. They come in many forms. They come in the form of doubts. You think God really loves you? Look at you. Look at a failure. You think He could use you? You think God, you think there is even is a God? Why would you believe that? The enemy throws doubts at us. That is in the spiritual realm. It's a fiery dart. Trying to get us to doubt God, His provision, His care, His love. He throws fiery darts of fear at us. You're never going to make out of this one. God's going to forsake you on this one. Oh, you've gotten out too far now. Look what you've done. He throws fears. They come in the form of anxieties. They can come in the form of thoughts, blasphemous thoughts, lustful thoughts, questioning thoughts. And oftentimes, of course, they find their way in, or at least they're kind of launched from what? The things we so often see or watch or allow ourselves to listen to or be a part of or participate in. He uses those things, and the things, and we see that. He'll use that to begin a lustful thought or something. The goal is always to trip us up, to make us fall, to lose ground. When might these come at us? Any time, in any place. These doubts, these questions, these thoughts, these fiery arrows from the enemy, they come in many, many forms, and they can come at any time, even while you're sitting in church, even while you're praying, even while you're reading your Bible, it can come. The thing is, recognize them. See, the enemy wants to get you to think that, oh, look what you just thought. And then he really gets on you. Oh, and you're praying, and look what you, oh, and you call, you're in your Bible, and look at that, you call yourself a Christian. And off he gets you going. Well, I guess you're right. Got to recognize them for what they are, but they can come at any time and take many forms, and they use many things as the doorway into our lives, so to speak, to help launch them against us. The call, be ready. Don't be taken by surprise. Recognize them for what they are. Now notice, look at the middle of the verse. We've kind of talked about the shield of faith, and at the end we talked about the fiery darts, what they're like, who they're coming from. Recognize that. But look at the middle of it. Taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench just about all fiery darts. No. There's nothing the enemy or his cohort can shoot at you that God can't handle. What's it say? That you will be able to quench all of the attacks. Notice the complete effectiveness of God's armor. Notice the complete effectiveness if we will truly have faith and stand on it and get it between us and that attack. Oh, to just stand on God's word, his nature, his promises. If we do so, it will protect us from how much? All the attacks, all the fiery darts. Has the enemy, don't answer out loud, but has some target, have some arrows been finding their target in your life? Truth be told, is there somewhere the arrows have been getting through and you go, whoa, how'd that happen? Then I just lovingly want to encourage you to take a look at, did it catch you off guard? Did you not really put faith, God, his word, his truth, between you and it? Did you write it off as no big deal, I can handle this? May this morning encourage us to stand victorious. Again, no matter what Satan hurls at us, they can all be defended against. God doesn't go, oh, now that's too big an arrow for me. Hope you make it. That'll get through anything I got for you. No. There is no dart that God can't handle. But we must get him and his word between us and the attack. To actively practice that thing, do that thing, obey, whatever it is, and be strong in and have on him and this armor he gives us. One more point. We have seen in this letter that is written not just to individuals, but to the body collectively. Many times in here he's talked about that, the place of body ministry. He's talked about one of the first things was to make sure we're standing in unity, that we walk in the unity of the body together. Last week we saw how the shoes of the gospel of peace were something that peace we saw was something that was to be going on with him, of him, but also between us as brothers and sisters. No disunity, no gossip, no division. That part of our armor was peace with him, of him, and amongst us. So there's an application there. Well, there's the same thing here in this. Let me explain. I got to thinking about this. As you saw earlier, it said the edges of these shields were built in such a way as they could be linked together by fellow soldiers in battle. So there could be an entire line of soldiers, and that they could interlock their shields and march against the enemy. They were like a solid wall when they would do that. You've seen that in some of the movies about Roman battles and everything. Here's a picture of sorts. This is a depiction of what they would do. They would get together and they would put those shields, they would lock them together so it would make a wall. Then the other guys, they would stay in ranks, but they'd come up close and the other guys would put theirs up above them. And they make this sort of almost impenetrable block, this wall, where arrows can't get through. Because that would be, again, so often that's what the enemy would do. He'd start his artillery barrage with these arrows. Before they get close enough to do sword hand-to-hand combat, they'd be shooting all these fiery arrows. And the goal of the other side is to cause such fear and panic that one or more of these other soldiers would break ranks. If you can break ranks, you cause an opening in the wall. You cause them to be vulnerable right there. And especially, think about the one who broke ranks. Think about the one who takes off on his own. You know, this is too much. I'm out of here. Boy, they're licking their chops on that one. We've got this guy. He's away from everybody else. No way can he cover all four sides to himself. He's a sitting duck. But I got to thinking about that application. They would raise their shields together as they joined together like that with the goal of the mutual protection that it would give them. What it suggests is this. Christians, we're not in the battle alone. There should never be a lone ranger Christian. You are setting yourself up. You're making yourself vulnerable. Don't bolt. Don't take off and run away from the blessing of the fellowship and encouragement as fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord that we can give each other as we pray for each other, remind one another, hold each other up in the battle, keeping our shields all up together. We should see each other as fellow soldiers and encourage each other to hold up our shields together. As a sidelight, I'd like to mention, I got to looking at that, and I thought about the guy off to the side. And you know, I'm kind of like that guy. I get to be, as the pastor, I get to kind of look at us. See, because what's his role? He's able to say, okay, keep your shield up over there. Oh, hey, hold your ground, don't give ground. Don't run. Come on, you're going to be safe here in the group. He's there to kind of point out things and lovingly encourage and exhort and come on, hold your ranks. Keep the discipline going. We can get the victory together. And I get to do that. I get to see someone. I say, come on. Let's rally around that person. Come on, let's pray for that person. Hang in there. And all of us get our shields together so we can have victory together. That kind of, I get to have that privilege, you might say. And this morning's kind of part of that, isn't it? Just encouraging all of us to have that shield of faith going on individually and collectively. So let's do a little application. Don't answer out loud, but what are some darts that you're experiencing? You come in this morning and you have to admit you've been struck. I read about one Roman soldier that after a particular battle, he had 200 arrows in his shield. Now, I'll tell you this, 200 arrows in your shield is a whole lot better than one in your body. Yeah, you're going to have arrows sticking out of your shield sometimes. You're going to come in and go, oh, man. But God held me up. He was faithful. I was victorious. But as some arrows maybe been getting through, God's not down on you. He's saying, come on, let's get the shield up where the arrows have been getting through. What darts are you experiencing? The enemy is interesting. Sometimes he uses something really blatant. Sometimes he uses something very subtle. Sometimes we'll have victory, but he'll come and try again, won't he, after a while. Let's see if he or she still got their armor up there. Maybe they're thinking they got it zeroed in on that one. Let's try again there. Sometimes it's something totally from left field. But the key is, having up our armor, our shield. Do you know that pastors have arrows shot at them also? I'm not immune to this. I'm just like you. And the enemy shoots things at all of us. And they can take so many different forms. We know that. But there is a refuge. There's a protection. There's a shield. How do I get it? Not about being smart enough or anything like that. It's not rich enough. It's trusting our God. Getting Him and His Word between you and the attack. So, what's the application? First of all, what's a dart? A thought, an imagination, a doubt, a questioning. Something that would be contrary to what God would have for us. It enters through something. It's a lustful thought, something. All of a sudden it gets down to however form it takes. All of a sudden it's being aimed at us. Again, a doubt, something, whatever it might be. What do you do first? Recognize it for what it is. And recognize its source. Don't buy into it. Don't let the enemy use it to beat you up. Just get God up. His word, His promises, His forgiveness towards you. His love, His compassion, His peace, His hope, His joy, everything. Get Him up between you and the attack. His truth, His word. But many people fail right there. Again, by the time a lot of people realize that it's at a dart, it's already found its target. Have yourself ready to go. Recognize it for what it is. And then what? Again, hold up the shield of faith. Believe God at that moment. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a well-known pastor from time past, but on his text, his teaching on this, his commentary, he says he believes a good way to find a shield of faith here, the use of it is this. It's to quickly get God's word. Get God between you and the attack. To quickly have it there. Where did I leave that shield again? Uh-oh, here comes an arrow. Now, where did I put that? Have it ready to go and get it up. Quickly respond. So it hits the shield and not you. Believe God at that very moment. Don't get into a debate. Don't entertain. Get God right there. Trust Him. Lean on His nature. Lean on His word. Lean on His provision. Lean on His power. See, that's faith. A saving faith will be an active faith. And it will have this component of you're casting everything upon it. You can if you're trusting God for eternal life, trust Him for this life. Get that out there actively. Put God and His word between you and the arrow, and He will quench the dart. And remember this, back in chapter 5, verse 18, we were exhorted to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit when we receive Christ as Savior. But there's this need for His ongoing work, that continual filling, Paul talked about it. A continual sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, a yielding to the Holy Spirit, a surrender, a listening to and obeying as the Holy Spirit leads us and leads us into all truth and all. That work of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world. And He's in us. But we're encouraged in Scripture to make sure we don't quench the Holy Spirit. Again, remember what we said quench means? Quench means if you quench something, it's to take the power out of it, so to speak. It's to not let it have power. So we're told not to quench the Holy Spirit. Receive of that power. Walk in that power of the Holy Spirit. So our part, don't quench the Spirit by our unbelief and our doubt. But instead, he says, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, and you'll quench the darts. That's the promise. That's our shield. We can invite our worship team up. As we get ready to respond to the Lord, to worship Him and praise Him, if you need a prayer, there'll be prayer partners back in the corner during this time or afterwards. If you want to come up to the altar, no one's going to bug you, but maybe you recognize that some darts have been finding their target, and this morning you want to say, Lord, I want to get that shield back on. The altar's available for anything, maybe just a fresh commitment time, just to thank Him. Nobody's going to bug you. But wherever we're at in all this right here, physically, spiritually is the point. Make sure you have that shield of faith between you and everything that's coming at you. When you go out there, keep that shield of faith up. Father, to that end, we bow. And I pray, help every one of us. Lord, none of us are immune to this. We're all in the battle. But you make equally available to all of us your shield, you, your provision, your power, your promises, your word. Help us, Lord. Help us all to just truly lean on, truly trust in, truly just continually, just quickly make sure you are right there. Lord, thank you that whatever the enemy throws, you're more than enough. Truly, faith in you. You can quench them all those darts. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.